Hooray, Relative Morality. Not hooray, relative moralism. No.
Never hooray, relative moralism.
No.
This is the Black Market Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number 90, and in this episode, we will be jumping off of Van Helsing, which, it was, late 2000s? Is that right?
I think it was 2004.
Okay, so early 2000s. So it was in the
early to mid 2000s.
So it's before the big make an MCU out of everything push, which basically they ended up rebooting basically what the basic core of what Van Helsing is, and attempting to make a big unified universe with all of the monsters, and that didn't happen.
This movie turned into a total clusterfuck.
But at the same time, this movie is a great homage to the old monster movies.
No, that I will give you. It is an homage to the old school kind of multi-monster. Yes.
It is what it was supposed to be.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. It is.
And the execution of that is a total clusterfuck, but that's what it should be.
It is. And then I also wondered if it was like an underworld kind of crossover, because you've got Kate Beckinsale in it.
And also a guy that is definitely not Gary Oldman playing Gary Oldman playing Dracula.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I was like, is this also an underworld movie? Does it count?
It does not count, because Kate Beckinsale is not a vampire.
Or is she?
Or, yeah, maybe it's a prequel. Who knows? But yeah, I guess they went back and did an underworld prequel later. I never watched that one.
They did. I've actually watched all of the underworld movies, because once I start something, I tend to try to finish it.
Once you pop, you can't stop.
It's more that I'm a completionist. Yeah. Like I will just, it's like the Resident Evil movies. Like I've seen all of them. I will see the rest of them, and I'll watch all the underworld movies too. I think we're up to six.
I don't know. I jumped off after three, I think.
Yeah, there have been three more at least. So yeah, but, and it's one of those things, the Underworld and Resident Evil movies are very, very similar in the fact that the lead actress is just kind of either married or dating the director. So they just keep making the movies.
Yeah. Yeah. It's simple. We already have casting taken care of.
Right. Yeah. We can just,
I don't have to talk the lead into it, because
exactly. Cause it makes us both money.
Yeah. Cause Peter, Paul, yeah, that's how money gets shifted around.
On top of that, I mean, the movies make money. You make them for $30 million, they're guaranteed to make $70 million or whatever at the box office, and it's just an easy, it's hitting a single at this point.
Right, right. Which is what you're
expecting. Right, that's all they want right now.
Right. Yeah. Van Helsing.
Yes.
It is intentionally cheesy monster movie, and that's what you go for in, mid-October.
Absolutely. I am a huge fan of the campy,
yes,
kind of fun monster movies.
And they went for kind of big casting with Jackman. I think this is right after the first X-Men.
I believe so.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not long after.
It's the beginning of peak Jackman.
Yes.
And Beckinsale actually coming off of, I believe, the first Underworld.
It was coming right off the first Underworld. Yeah.
And so, you know, these up and coming stars in this, you know, basically an age old franchise, even though, you know, horror movies don't get the credit that they're due by anybody in Hollywood. It's still,
I totally agree. Still, and I mean, the monster movie, you're like vampire, Dracula, whatever. It's really the first movie franchise.
Yes. Yes.
You know, going all the way back to the original, like, you know, Nosferatu to the Dracula movies. And I mean, yeah, they're as old as cinema itself.
Yeah. I mean, and they had series of movies before anybody else did. You had, you know, you had, you know, all kinds of Dracula movies and all kinds of Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein and the Frankenstein monster goes to blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
And all of these things existed. And we don't give these credit for being the first kind of serialized movies. And they really were.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and like you said, even back into the 40s, you had, you know, Frankenstein meets the Wolfman. You know, House of Frankenstein or House of Dracula. And it was... It was these, and even back then, it was a relatively low budget, mm-hmm. kind of guaranteed hit.
Yes.
You know, it's always going to have an audience, especially this time of year, you know, so you can release these pretty safe movies forever.
Yeah.
And even though this movie was, you know, generally, I think, sort of shit on by critics.
No.
But these movies always are.
Rightfully so, kind of, you know.
I mean, here's the thing. You're never going to have a monster movie win, you know, best screenplay or whatever. Yeah. It's not what they're designed for. It's like complaining that your Honda Civic isn't fast enough. Like, you don't buy a Honda Civic if you want to go fast. You don't watch a monster movie if you want just truly gripping, you know, writing and screenplay.
You
watch a monster movie because it's a monster movie.
You know, there are entire message boards on the internet that would argue with you about not buying a Honda Civic to go fast.
Well, those 16-year-old kids can, you know, you kind of buy what you can buy.
No matter what you do to that thing, it's still a Honda.
Yeah, it's still a Honda Civic, and the best thing about it is that it will run forever, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's got its place.
Unless you mod the shit out of it, and then it will run for until you kill it.
Yeah, pretty much. But, I mean, you get what I'm saying. These aren't made for critics. These are made for audiences, mm-hmm. and guess what? Critics don't buy tickets.
Yeah, critics don't like a good time, damn it.
I don't think so. No, they generally crap on these kind of goofy, you know, fun romp movies.
Go in for the ride type things.
Yeah. There's a place for these kind of films where you just kind of leave your thinking brain at the door. Mm-hmm. We're just going to sit here and watch this for 2 hours and enjoy it and just kind of check out.
Right. And I remember our reaction at the end of this movie. My wife and I went and saw it in the theater because it was a fun, cheesy horror romp thing. And the reaction was, why didn't they stop it 5 minutes earlier? Because it should have stopped while it was still dark. They shouldn't have done the cheesy, make it light and hopeful, and she turns into a spirit
to
in the
an
clouds
angel,
and
they get into heaven or whatever. Yeah. I totally agree because you killed the mood right at the end of it.
Yes. It's like, it's this great dark horror, you know, classic horror, you know, homage to all these things. And they fuck it up with the last scene.
I agree.
Spoils the rest of the movie.
The director's cut of this film should be, we just cut it 5 minutes early.
We just go to roll the credits as soon as she's dead.
Right. As soon as he gets her. Yeah. Credits roll. That's it.
Yes, exactly. Yes. It's done. He's sad. We get it. We don't need the fucking angel in the clouds. And yes, we get it. The plot has has run itself through. We don't need you to hammer it home that this was her salvation. We know you've been saying that that would be the salvation of the family for the whole fucking movie. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. No, I totally get it. It was a little, it was forced.
Yes. And out of, just out of character for the rest of the film.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that one.
And I wonder if that was something that the focus group at some point forced to be added in. I don't know. And I don't know how they didn't force it to be cut out. But, you know, sometimes.
Well, and I mean, it could just be, well, this is the director's vision. You know how that kind of bullshit goes.
Yeah, well, the director can you know, go suck something.
Yeah.
A potato or something. Because
I agree.
He doesn't need to be adding that shit on the end of the movie.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So there.
I don't know. But this actually, this movie has kind of started getting me into watching some of the old kind of campy Halloween horror, you know, series. So it's been fun.
And really, that is, I believe that's the entire goal of that movie. Is to pay homage to the old, you know, God, which studio? It's Paramount, isn't it?
I thought it was Paramount.
Yeah, yeah, and it's that studio paying homage to its older works, you know, and it's all you know. Go back and watch the old stuff because this is what we're pulling from.
Right, and I mean and also maybe appreciate a pretty underappreciated genre of film that is surprisingly important to the history of cinema.
I do like that they made the Frankenstein monster sentient and, you know, actually think things through, you know.
Yes,
almost more than any other character in the movie.
I know. The most thoughtful guy was the guy who usually displays a shambling angry thing.
Right. And that actually goes back more to the Mary Shelley's take on it.
Right, that's the original book.
Yes. Where, you know, the villagers are the bad guys, not the monster. Yeah.
Right. It's the real monster of Frankenstein is the people.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, mob mentality.
Exactly.
Et cetera, et cetera. Relevant. Current quote here. Yeah.
And either side would claim that either side is doing that.
The good guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, relative moralism.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, exactly. Hooray, relative moralism. No, not hooray relative moralism.
Never hooray relative moralism.
No. But like I said, it was just kind of a fun romp movie. I've actually kind of missed watching these kind of goofy films. Mm-hmm. I don't watch a whole lot of movies, so it's nice to just kind of turn it on one night, you know, when it's dark, getting off work and watch not really a horror movie. This was kind of more of an action movie with horror characters in it.
Well, but it's kind of like, you know, a lot of the Marvel movies try to go too deep, but when you end up with a Guardians of the Galaxy or a Thor Ragnarok, those are the ones that the people enjoy more, you know, because they're more fun.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no huge commentary being thrown out there by Thor Ragnarok. It's a fucking buddy movie with Thor and the Hulk. And
and Jeff Goldblum.
Yes. Well, he's the bad guy.
Oh, yeah. He is, Jeff Goldblum's not the bad guy.
He is not along he's for great. The ride on the buddy.
Yeah, film. He's...
But, yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for just making a fun movie. And, you know, it's not going to be a Critics' Choice or you know, an award winner. But, you know, you're not making a Marvel movie to win an Academy Award anyway.
Right.
So, yeah, not everything has to be as deep as they make it. But, you know, I get that in order to keep a franchise going, there needs to be some meat in there. But make it more playful more often.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's
get off my lawn.
Like for yeah. Yeah. You dang kids. You
dang kids with your morals of the story and wanting to learn stuff in movies and shit.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I don't know. Kind of, yeah. Well, really, what this movie got me into watching was like old Santo movies.
Okay.
Are you familiar with these?
Somewhat.
Okay, so Santo, like El Santo was a Mexican wrestler back in like the 50s, 60s, 70s.
Okay.
And he was a cultural icon to the point where he was doing these films. Mm-hmm. And they're cheesy, like C-movie kind of half horror films, a lot like this. They're in the end kind of goofy,
yeah,
but very fun. I got into it through Mystery Science Theater. It was Santo versus the Vampire Women. Mm-hmm. And then I started watching Santo movies on my own from there. And they're very similar in the fact that they're just goofy action movies where you can just check out. You know, you'll laugh, you'll, you know, kind of get into the story, but you know it's not serious. So, yeah, that's what I watch on Halloween is old Santo movies.
Nice. Yeah. So, and that's a couple weeks away for Halloween at the time
yeah.
of recording / release. You know, with the...
Yeah, the Santo movies are a lot like the, like, Hercules movies. Mm-hmm. That came out kind of in the 70s, the Hercules versus the whatever, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they did like three or four of them and they were all terribly awesome.
Awfully good.
Yes, they're awfully good.
Yes, they are.
And I mean that in the most sincere way yes, possible.
Yes, they loop back around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because if you can't enjoy like Hercules versus the Moon Men or whatever,
right?
You know, or Santo versus the She-Wolves.
At some point,
you just don't know how to have a good time.
At yeah. some point, those were groundbreaking special effects. You know,
they were definitely not.
But well, I mean, like Jason and the Argonauts was groundbreaking special effects true. At the time. Just at some point, they were groundbreaking special effects. Maybe not when that film was made. But at some point in history, they would have seen that film and gone, wow, that's amazing. And it, yeah. you know, may yeah. have been with the advent of the light bulb, but you know, but at some point it yeah. would have been amazing.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Not necessarily today, but you enjoy movies like this for what they are.
Yes. Not necessarily today or when it was released, but at some point in human history, it was an amazing work. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was somebody's magnum opus.
Maybe not. No.
Probably not.
No. somebody put a good 9-to-5 into that thing.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody made some money doing this.
There you go. Or
they may not have made any money off of it, but they made money doing it.
Or, you know, somebody made money doing it. Yeah. The movie itself may not have made money and may have cost people, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in the long run, but somebody was paid to do it. So there we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Somebody, it stimulated somebody's economy.
There you go. Yeah. And, you know, and that's the moral of the story, you know, just because the economy is stimulated doesn't mean everybody gets paid.
That is correct.
Anyway. Yeah. But enough about current events.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where else do we want to go with this?
I don't really know. Because yeah. it's kind of a hard point to jump off of because, I mean, we could talk about Hugh Jackman, but, I mean, he's Wolverine and apparently also the Greatest Showman, and that's...
And, yeah, he can, like, sing, apparently.
He's a surprisingly decent singer, yeah. yeah. I forget what other musical movie he did, but he's surprisingly decent.
Yeah, I never watched Les Mis.
Yeah, that's what it was. He did fucking Les Mis.
And he was in Australia, which was a Baz Luhrmann thing, so I'm sure there was singing, but I haven't seen that particular Baz Luhrmann film.
No. I've seen, and I didn't watch Les Mis surely on principle because I'm tired of Les Mis.
Yeah. I somehow managed not to be required to read that in high school.
I wasn't required to read it, but if you are a guy and you sing in college, you're probably singing something out of Les Mis several times, and I just got tired of it. Like, the three or four songs in it I know, I never want to have to hear or sing or have to, like, be conscious of again. Like, just,
there you go.
I want to put them in, like, a very, like, dark closet in my memory and just leave them there.
And just sing Cats from now on. Yes.
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 No.
No. Not that one either, huh?
No. No. Oddly enough, like, Cats is how I got my college girlfriend, which is hilarious. She was in Cats. She was in a cat suit. She looked really good.
She was
like, I want to date that girl.
She was convincing.
She was very convincing.
I thought,
wow, that girl's really hot.
I thought she was a cat, so I asked her out. What?
Yeah. Wait, what? No, no. So if furries are your thing, that's great. It's not mine. But
so you say now.
Not even then. No.
Uh-huh.
For real, no.
For real, though.
Just now.
Okay.
Just now. But yeah, no. So that was a very random tangent.
Was it? I think we've been on more
random.
We went
from Hugh Jackman to Cats to my college girlfriend. Yes. Yes, it was random.
And furries. Let's not forget furries.
And furries, yeah. Yes. Managed to hopefully not piss off the furry community.
Well, you know. At least we'd know we have listeners.
That's true.
Yeah. You piss somebody
angry
off, we'd get responses.
That's true. And responses are responses.
Because, you know, I actually started looking back at some of our backlog numbers, and we actually have some decent numbers if you go, you know, a few months back. Apparently,
well, that's good.
Yeah, our approach of making episodes that are kind of timeless by talking about old things is panning out.
That's good.
Yeah. So, you know, our tens of numbers.
If we keep this up for another 20 years, we may have a couple thousand listeners.
Yeah, our tens of numbers have become hundreds of numbers on a few episodes, and yeah. Not enough to monetize in any way, but
of course,
you know.
No. But hey, it's cool that people are listening.
Yeah, it's cool that people listen to what we were thinking a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
and make me go, "What the fuck were we thinking a year and a half ago? Oh shit, what did we say? Why has this gone somewhat semi not really viral, but a group of people are listening to this?" Yeah.
Yeah.
What small collection of people are passing this around saying, listen to this shit?
Yeah. And then I would get all self-conscious.
Exactly.
Like, are they just laughing? Or are they actually,
exactly.
Like, are they actually interested?
It's like, where are these numbers coming from?
Or are we the Santo movie of podcasts?
Can we be the Santo movie of podcasts?
I'm totally cool with that.
That is our goal, isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah. We are not upping our production value. We are sticking with something that was a marvel to the world at one point, but is not currently.
No.
So yeah, we might be the Santo series of movies of podcasts.
I'm cool with that. We're just on the 20-year slog of making thoroughly mediocre content for all eternity.
There we go.
Yeah. That will do it.
That seems like not even a career path, but
it's a life decision.
An honorable life decision. There we go.
Yes. Yes.
we must keep doing this for the people.
Yes.
Yeah.
The dozens and dozens of people.
Yeah, I guess we're at 90. Our next multiple of 10 is 100. I guess we need to figure out something to do then.
Yeah, we need to do like a 100th episode special or something.
Or something. I don't know.
Or something. I don't know. We could do, you know, because I've, pardon the interruption that comes on ESPN, they have their 17th anniversary. I think it was, I watched it yesterday, so it was Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, yeah, it's our 17th anniversary. We're going to celebrate by doing the same thing we do every day.
Yeah.
They did nothing special.
Well, we've done it.
The cold open, although the cold open was their original cold open from 17 years
ago.
Well,
there you go. Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, we've changed theme songs at the beginning, but that's basically it. We do the same thing.
That's mainly just because your band wrote new stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's old stuff, but it's still what fits pretty well.
Absolutely. Yeah, but it is crazy how like long a show like that has gone, though. Mm-hmm. Because I just realized that show's been on for 17 years, and I'm 34, mm-hmm. and I remember watching the first episode, so I have literally been watching that show for half my life.
Yeah, there you go. It finally hit that threshold, huh?
It did.
Well, we've been going for 4 years.
Yeah, we have.
And I think it's like coming up on 4 years, like next month.
So if we keep it up for another 26 years, I'll have been doing this half my life.
The numbers don't quite equate to, every other week, but we try.
We get close.
We get somewhat close. We should be at 108 at the 4 year mark, but we're not there. Is it 108? Yeah. No, 104. 104. There we go. Math. Basic math. Easy math.
Yeah.
Why am I fucking up easy math? Anyway. We've meandered on enough, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
go watch a fun movie this Halloween season. Like, go watch something fun.
Go watch a fun romp. You know, there's super scary, super gory stuff, but go back and watch something that's just cheesy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Enjoy watching a movie. Go have fun. Quit thinking about it.
Yeah. Go watch Army of Darkness. It's not going to scare you.
Exactly.
Laugh at the Kool-Aid blood, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And go that direction. There's enough scary shit going on in the world. Watch it. Watch something that's going to be fun for you.
Yeah, exactly. So what are we doing next time?
What we're doing next time, we're going to do Andrew Bird's Armchair Apocrypha, which was an album. Andrew Bird was the violinist in the Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Oh, nice.
And this is a solo album, and I like I like his lyrical content, and the main instrument on the album is a violin. So you'll have something to talk about.
Yes, I will.
So it's basically
squeaky wood instruments,
an alternative / rock kind of album with a violin as the main instrument. So
it should be fun. It
should be fun. So that's what's coming up next time. And you can follow Black Market Toast on Facebook, and you are?
I'm That Joe You Know on Instagram. I'm That Joe You Know.
There you go. And, my band Revelator is playing in Pickens on the 27th.
Pickens.
You can follow us on Instagram at revelator.rocks or go to our website. Revelator.rocks, or follow us on Facebook if you want to. We make music, and I guess that's about it, and we'll talk at you next time.
da, da.